Hello!
Hi!
Hi, and welcome to Praise Dionysus!
Praise him!
Kumbaya, my lord! And welcome back also to episode 3 of the Chuckle Fest!
Yes, Jake and James's Chuckle Fest!
Jake and James's Chuckle Fest!
Oh, God. What shows are we going to talk about?
Yeah, right. And today on the Chuckle Fest, we're going to be talking about Shark Heist by Cam Venn, Barry Potter and the Magic of Wizardry by Tim Motley, Pilot, produced by Ethan Gallagher and Dylan McBurney, Cool and Smart and Friend by Cool and Smart, and Endho by Anna Dooley.
Fantastic.
You always pause like you're ready for more.
It's a long list.
It's a long list.
I get accustomed to listening to the list.
I nail it every time. Well, hello, here we are again.
Yes, we are. Hello, James, how are you?
I'm so good, Jake, how are you?
I'm fine, good.
You've been chuckling hard, you've been chuckling along.
Why is the tone of this such a corporate training video?
Well, here we are, having a fun time. And then I call you a faggot or something.
Jesus,
you know? And that's when you go like,
oh, that's when
wow,
someone presses pause.
Hey, what was wrong with that interaction?
Too tall, they were too tall.
Yeah. They weren't cutthroat enough.
How have your last few days been?
Yes, so good. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I've been watching, catching up on, you ready for this? RuPaul's Drag Race UK vs. The World, which is what I've been doing. I've been catching up on it and I'm loving it.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. That's my exciting thing. It's great.
It's great.
Yeah, it's actually really good.
Oh, good. Is there anything beyond that? Just a big thumbs up from Jamesy?
Thumbs up. It's great. It's my favourite format of Drag Race, I think, from now on. It's like my new favourite way they do it.
Because you enjoy, British people being a focal point?
Well, it's just called UK vs. the World because they just film it in UK. But it's like international queens from all the different seasons that they've done around the world coming together to do a season together. And it's really like heartwarming and nice. And all the queens on it are really talented. And they're all like French, Philippines, bloody Spanish, other ones. There's all sorts of queens. It's just really nice.
You know, lots of countries.
It's the ones that are in the specific show, Jay.
Yeah, great. Cool.
The Netherlands.
I'm not going to fact check this.
America, UK.
I don't care.
Australia. There's an Australian queen in there.
Yeah, look, someone's been looking at their globe, haven't they? But yes, no, I'm not going to fact check. I would struggle to care less about RuPaul's efforts to do anything.
What about RuPaul's efforts to frack the world?
That's my largest concern when it comes to RuPaul.
That's my largest concern as well, yeah. He actually commented on it recently.
And said what?
Which he never does. He commented on it and said something like, I don't remember the exact wording, but it was something along the lines of, don't be hypocritical, smell the gas next time you pour it, like you're buying the gas.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, so you are just an evil businessman. In a wig! And that's fine. That's fine. Evil, vindictive man. But that's fine. I still watch his shows. So, you know. How about you, Jake? What have you been up to?
But what have I done? Well, if we're going to stick with the theme of television.
Which we are.
Which we are, seemingly, yes. Because that's what I'm about to talk about.
Great.
Yes. I watched the entirety of that, Disney expose, Quiet on Set. That documentary series that just came out about children on Nickelodeon TV sets being victimized by the people that worked there.
Oh, I heard about this, but no, I haven't watched it. Was it interesting?
It was saddening. Yeah, it was like illuminating and upsetting. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, watching a bunch of grown-up people talk about the time that they spent their childhood being kind of mistreated.
Oh.
Everything from, sexual assault through to, other terrible things that happened on Nickelodeon's watch.
That's
sometimes
horrible.
At the hands of Dan Schneider and sometimes at others. They a surprising number of pedophiles on the set, but
I guess that is not a surprise. It's a kids show. That's where they gravitate to.
I suppose that's true too. Yeah, no, pedophiles are out there.
Which is something we firmly believe here at Praise Dionysus.
They are, they're out there.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah, in the same way that some people have yellow as their favourite colour, there are also pedophiles.
So
I'm not happy about it.
You sound thrilled.
Beyond that, though, it's certainly just reaffirmed this belief that I've had for quite some time that I don't understand why we still keep putting children on television.
Why? Yeah.
It seems pretty needless to me. Just find a bunch of short adults.
Okay, there's
if you
issues.
Must tell the stories of children.
Oh, you know what, Jake? What? CGI's gotten to a point now where we can probably just CGI the children.
Yeah, I like this idea a lot.
Yep, I think we're onto something.
Yes, I think the CGI children are less likely to fall prey to sexual depravity.
Less likely?
Yes, you never know. Technology's moving pretty fast.
You know what? Let's just move on. We've danced around this too much.
Why? I've already concocted some sort of horrific universe where...
Yeah, I know you have!
There are sexual predators dressed in all green with ping pong balls all over their bodies. And they're somehow falling into the pediverse.
You got me, I'm back in. No! I'm back in. I was out, but I'm back in now. Okay, that's enough.
Protect CGI children. I'm Jim Caviezel.
Look, better the CGI children than the real children, well, is what the politicians would say.
Sure, but then I would storm in like a power suit as a woman with brown hair, tied up.
Tied up, but down on the weekends.
Yes. Yes. Hello. I'm here on behalf of the CGI children.
And what's your name?
I'm Beatty Magoo.
I think we've milked this for all it's worth at this point. So should we talk about... No, how was... Rate your week. Rate your fucking
week. Rate my week. I suppose... I'm going to give it 6 stars. Because I feel like that's how many times they referenced that piece of footage of Ariana Grande trying to milk a potato. What about you?
Okay. I'm going to give it... 5 stars. Because that's how many drag queens are still in the competition. I'm about to watch the final. And the semi-final. So, yeah, 5 stars for me.
I hope your favourite international fracking queen is victorious.
I think... I hope so as well.
And victorious was also a Dan Schneider show starring Victoria Justice.
Should we talk about some comedy?
Let's get chuckling. Hello, James.
Hello, Jake.
Hi, I went with Wheeler to the Motley Bauhaus.
God, we've been doing that a lot recently.
Yeah, I like it there.
Same.
Yeah, I was there to see Shark Heist by Cam Venn.
Shark? That's a lot of like sharp sounds in one sentence. Shark Heist by Cam Venn.
It might have just been the way that my stupid mouth did the words.
Yeah, because when I said it, it didn't happen.
I think if an elegant person said it, it wouldn't have sounded so jagged.
Yeah, but I liked that it sounded jagged, like a shark.
Or a little pill.
Oh!
Just for those Alanis heads out there. Yeah.
You know who you are.
I was terrified of going into this show because...
Because you thought there'd be a shark?
I was expecting a shark. But despite that, I soldiered on. What I was more afraid of was the fact of, like, it was promoted as being a thing that was very heavily audience participatory.
Oh, no!
And I love being left in the dark.
Yeah, quack, quack, quack.
Yeah. So, went there very boldly. Again, emblazoned by the fact that I am just braver now after Fifi's fifth.
Yes, it's true. Fifi really did a lot for you.
She changed my world. That fake Elsa really opened my eyes to something. My own courage. Which is the lesson of Frozen?
No, the lesson of Frozen is you're a lesbian.
Oh. Well, I guess I'm a brave lesbian. Because I went to Shark Heist.
That does sound brave.
I can then. I adored this show. Just like from the get-go, I need to say that I loved it so much.
Oh.
Like Wheeler and I had such like a wonderful time seeing this show.
Oh, lovely.
And I will recommend it to anybody that asks me about, you know, ways to enjoy this comedy festival.
Okay. And just tell us why.
And just to see a really impressive performer. Okay, so, yeah, turn up, and then, like, the first thing that kind of happens, we go in, and Cam is there, just looking wonderful, and, like, a fun, open, warm man. And I don't know, he just seems very sweet and did so from the get-go. And yeah, we sort of get in there. He's kind of there dancing in his underpants. And then we come in and sit down. And then the first thing that happens is a welcome to country. And it's truly one of the most lovely welcome to countries I've ever experienced.
Oh.
Which was, I don't know, just an additional adornment that this show didn't necessarily need because it was already impressive by itself.
Mm.
But yeah, it was just, when a welcome to country is just especially moving, I just think it's quite lovely.
Was it just was the extra, what was it? What about it was so moving?
Oh, I'm not going to get into the details of it because it's like, see it for yourself if you want to.
Yeah,
I feel
sure.
Like I'll do it a disservice.
Yep.
And it's like, I don't know. And it's also like my opinion, given, I don't know, my background and whatnot. It's like, it's irrelevant what I feel about a welcome to country.
Yep, fair point.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's that. So, and then the plot starts happening. So it's like, in terms of like, there's a lot of time jumps. There's a lot of, just talking about structure, but it's a lot of like high energy storytelling. There's time jumps are a function of it. And it itself is a lot of like Cam playing a number of characters, each of them very impressively distinct from each other.
Mm.
You'd be very jazzed that there were a lot of different wigs involved.
I love a good wig.
Yes. But yeah, that's how the plot moves forward. It's quite a rapid pace and a lot of stuff happens. It's very stimulating as a
Ooh.
Narrative. Yeah. But on top of that too, there was this additional thing that I also loved and also made the show a thing that I was much more capable of enjoying, which was like the very very much from the get-go, there was this thing of, like, explicitly said to us, like, if you do not want to do anything, you don't have to do anything.
Oh, Cam Venn, you just won Jake's heart.
Oh, my God. And I believed him, and it was the rules that he followed. Like, if anyone didn't want to get involved, there was zero pressure on them doing it.
Oh.
And it was, and that just meant, like, I don't know, it just, like, relaxed me enough. Like, all of these, like, participatory, like, theater fear muscles just got to, like, calm down.
Yeah, you're swaddled in a safety blanket.
Yes, that's the thing. It was, like, somehow this, like, frantic, high-energy, clowny show was also just so, like, warm and soft and delightful.
Mm.
Without feeling like theater for pussies. You know?
No Peter Pan being shot in the head here.
Peter Pan being shot in the head. Oh!
There we go.
Yes. To die will be an awfully big adventure.
There we go. Yes. Yep.
Yes, oh God, I was so scared that whole time. Oh my God. But yes, so,
that's so lovely.
Got to feel safe and cheerful the entire show.
How unusual for you.
Yes, but because of how safe he made me and the audience feel. Because it did feel like a sense that went throughout the crowd. It was really lovely.
And
for that reason, I was closer than ever to volunteering to participate in something.
Did you?
No, of course not. Jesus,
but I was close.
I was close. The closest I've ever been, which is huge for Jake.
Yeah, that is big for Jake.
That's gigantic.
Jesus, you're about to make a Jesus joke.
No, I'm just saying, like, no, it would have happened. This show was wonderful, but it's not as if I was, like, possessed by some other person that was going to be like, absolutely, let me be Mayor Octopus.
What sort of audience participation are we talking about?
It's, you get up and you can be part of the heist team that is committing the heist. You can get up and be the shark for a period of time.
I want to know so much about the show, but I feel like you can't give away details.
I can give you the details of, like, Cam's character is close friends with a shark. That shark meets an unfortunate predicament, and they're kind of torn apart from each other.
Ooh.
There's also, like, the world's biggest diamond.
Ooh.
And my word, that's alluring for people. Especially, even people that are just out of prison and don't want to get dragged back into that life again.
It's the world's biggest diamond.
Ooh!
Yeah, that's going to get you.
Precisely. Mm. But that's the thing. In terms of narrative and content, I really do not want to spoil this for people because it was truly such, I'm sure I've conveyed by now, a delightful ride. This man is such, like, a competent, entertaining man. He's so, like, brave and confident and loving, and I was so grateful for him being so generous with what he has, which is, like, a real talent for theater and for clownery and for emanating this real sense of, like, love and glee and an appreciation for the value of joy.
Oh my God.
It was a really good time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shark heist.
Yes, a lot of, I don't know, yes. Again, my mouth is, I don't know, now has, like, a part-time duty of being just, like, a glowing neon arrow towards this show. I think it's a really wonderful time.
That's so lovely.
Yeah.
Oh. Hello, Jake.
Hi, James. Hi. Hello, there's a voice happening.
Hello? No, that's not meant to be.
Oh.
I met up with a dear friend of ours, Georgie Potter. She's not a deer.
Oh, God. Yeah. Like Prashanti.
Like Prashanti's a deer, but not Georgie.
Okay.
Georgie is just a lovely human being.
Yes.
And I went and met her, and we went and saw a show.
Good system.
Yeah, thank you so much. We went to the Elephant and Wheelbarrow.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is that, like, British intimidation? British pub impersonation of a building on just near the Princess Theatre. You will all know what I mean.
It's like Exhibition and Collins?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one.
Sure. I know the city.
And the city knows you.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know the song, but I know it's from Sex and the City. So we went along upstairs to the third floor of the Elephant and Wheelbarrow. Look.
What? Is it about stairs?
I don't like the... Yeah, I hate
stairs. Oh, is it about stairs?
No! No, it's not about stairs! I don't like stairs, but that's not what it's about.
I like the idea of someone challenging you to a staring contest, and you misunderstand what they're proposing, and you're like, I won't do it!
Damn! No, it's not about the stairs. I just don't like the Elephant Wheelbarrow. I'm so sorry.
Why don't you?
It's everything's sticky. There's too many children. It's like a British imitation pub. And it's like, why are you taking pubs from, like, the drabbest part of the world and bringing them over here?
I feel the opposite. I think it's romantic. I think it's nice.
There was a dead fly on the table we sat down to have a beer.
Oh, yeah, the ambience.
Nothing
yes.
for me. Nothing.
I like things wooden and sticky.
Look, I sound hot. It is what it is. It's a British pub. If you want to go there, go there. Anywho, we went upstairs too. And now this show, I'm going to get it out of the way, Jake. Rip the bandaid off. It was a magic show.
Okay.
It was a magician.
Oh, it's a magic show in that it is a show that features magic.
Yes. Okay. Yes, ma'am. And it's also like the second of the Harry Potter shows this comedy festival.
Add it to the list.
Add it to the list.
That's exciting. Tick.
Here we go. Yes. To continue our, I don't know, our manifesto we're doing. Is that the right use of the word manifesto?
The manifesto we're doing.
Yeah, is that right?
I don't think you do a manifesto. Unless, I don't know, unless that's the way that people talk about, like, school shootings.
I'm just a baby.
You're just a baby.
Yeah, I don't know anything about manifestos.
Okay, well, you can do a baby festo, I suppose. Ooh. Yeah, see, that's dreadful wordplay.
Well, there are enough babies and children there that we could have done a baby festo. There are children at this show. It's a PG show.
Oh, at the show?
At the show.
Oh, okay,
it's children. A PG show.
Okay.
So, Barry Potter.
Yes.
Tim Motley is playing Barry Potter.
Okay.
And he comes on. So I'll set the scene first. We're sitting upstairs, Georgie Potter and I. Bunch of like bar chairs have been set up, like, you know, around the stage. This little stage, just in this bar that's not in use.
Okay.
So immediately loving it.
Okay.
And immediately feels very much like a lot of the magic shows that we saw for the Magic Festival. Or I saw for the Magic Festival.
Yeah, did I see magic for the Magic Festival?
I don't think
Festival?
You did. I think I did.
Yeah, you just saw Josh Staley and that was the whole Magic Festival
for us? I think I saw two.
You saw two Josh Staley shows.
I didn't see two Josh Staley. I love Josh Staley. But I've definitely seen more magic. Doesn't matter. You know what? We'll have this argument off recording. That's exactly how magic should feel to me. It feels like it should be like...
Near children.
Well, a little bit ramshackle and, like, hodgepodge, like, good magic. Because it sort of, like, lets the magic itself shine. And Barry...
Yes.
...is a consummate magician.
Okay.
He's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I say I had a really good time at the show and I had no idea what to expect going in because I'm always scared of Harry Potter shows.
You're scared of Harry Potter shows?
Oh, God, yeah. I always think, why are you making a Harry Potter show? This one makes sense. You're a magician. You want to, like... appeal to a target audience.
But hang on, what is the fear that you bring to others? You're worried that it's going to be like a turfy rant?
I hate Harry Potter. I really dislike Harry Potter.
Okay.
But this was a send-up of Harry Potter, obviously. It's Barry Potter.
Take that!
Take that, you bastard! First and foremost, my favourite thing about Tim as a performer is how eager and ready and able he is to tell children to shut up.
Oh, yes, super nanny, take me away.
Oh my God, and like in a way that is like charming. He'll like point at children who are being too loud, and there were a lot of them.
Mm.
He'll point at them with the wand and say, Silencio! Like just straight up. Or he'll be like, why don't you keep that to yourself, to this other kid, which I just really appreciated. Also, the parents are not telling their children to shut up, so good on you, Tim, for doing the work. And yeah, so then the show proceeds to be like just Tim doing a bunch of really fantastic magic tricks in front of us and up close and like impressive ones that are really hard to do, like up close directly in front of people. Like I was like as close to him as I am to you right now. We sit quite close for the purpose of people listening at home.
And the people at home need to know that I did not make that choice. Continue your magical tale.
Logistical choice. And then peppered throughout is a lot of Tim's fabulous sort of dad humor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all terrible puns. Like, it's all awful puns. The whole show is Harry Potter puns and magic puns and just awful, awful puns, which I always appreciate. But he sort of peppers it in. And, you know, there's something about a magician who's, like, confident and, like, a really charismatic performer that makes it so magical that when he makes a genuine mistake... it feels fine. Like, it feels like just you're along for the ride. Like, at one or two points during one of his cards... For the purpose of this podcast, I'm not going to detail to you every trick he did, because that's not interesting.
Yes.
But during, like, some of his card tricks, like, he'd pull a card and, like, very clearly be the wrong one and be like, oh, whoops, that's meant to be later on. But he did it in such a way that was, like... I don't know, it just felt like I just trusted him inherently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is just really, I think, impressive. We need to talk about Rachel.
About Rachel.
Georgie at home will be screaming because she and I loved and hated Rachel.
Okay.
So there's like maybe three or four points he gets someone up on stage to help him out with a trick. And you know, usually they're like just your average dad who's just a bit nervous and doesn't really know what to do, or it's like a mum who's just sort of like a bit giggly. And then along comes Rachel.
Rachel.
Could the blonde woman in the back please come up and join me? Says Barry.
Okay.
Up gets Rachel. She's a gorgeous woman, probably in her, like, a late 20s, and gets up on stage. She wants to die. She fucking hates it. Okay. And you can tell from the get-go. She's got this attitude, and I'm going to do it for Jake, and you can maybe hear it through the voice, but it's all like, yeah, okay, uh-huh, mm-hmm. The entire way through the skit. Doesn't crack a single smile. It's like trying to get water out of a stone the whole time.
Does it seem like she doesn't believe in magic?
It seems like she walked in, accidentally got to the wrong show, didn't leave, and then got pulled up before she could leave. Okay. Like, she has the attitude of someone that actively wanted Tim to die.
Oh.
And Tim, to his credit, was just sort of like pointing it out, like, wow, you're really enthusiastic to be up here.
Is that why he picked her?
I have no idea. I think he just picked her because she was a person in the crowd.
Like, oh, okay.
She was just there.
Okay.
And then, like, she
just happens to have, like, found his Mel for
it. Yeah. She could have said no. But there was something so wonderful. Because from the get-go, I was like, Georgie and I were both, like, shitting ourselves the entire way through because she so clearly hated it. But it was like, bitch, what did you expect was going to happen? It's a magic show. Like, say no. Say no if someone wants to pull you up and you're going to be like that.
So what are you saying? That if you go to a magic show, you should expect to get included in the show?
Yes!
And you should be happy about it.
You should deal with it.
I think she did, in the only way she knows
how. She shut down. And that, to me, is not dealing with it. I don't get... I just think... more. Look, above all of this personal anger at Rachel aside, it was really funny. Okay. Because her entire thing was, he like had her just stare at her fist the entire time because he like put something in her fist. He'd told her to clench her fist and she was just meant to watch it and not get distracted by anything else. And then he did like a bunch of magic tricks next to her and she was just meant to stare at her fist, which was no problem for her because I don't think she wanted to look at him at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really funny to watch her be uncomfortable.
You and I are
different people. We're different people.
We are.
I just found myself getting so swept up with rage for Tim because I was like, oh, this magician is doing everything for you. Everything! Sorry, I got a bit carried away there. Georgie and I found it really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like one of the most bizarre moments of a magic show I've ever seen.
Okay.
And then Rachel, yeah, but the whole time Georgie and I were like, woo!
During Rachel's performance.
Yes, yes, Rachel!
Did that help Rachel?
Well, she didn't react at all. So, who knows?
What a stoic queen.
Yeah, honestly, slay to Rachel. But, you know, buck up. Anywho. To quote my dad when I told him I had depression.
I was about to say, that was a very dadular response. Things aren't that bad, Rachel.
Yeah, come on, just get some sun. Anywho. Needless to say, love the show. Love Barry. He's toured around this show before a bunch, and you can tell that he really knows it, like, quite well back to front. He can roll with any of the punches that are thrown at him. And he did that classic thing at the end where he does, the final magic trick, which sort of, like... And this isn't a spoiler because it's how all magic shows end, but he does that magic trick where, like... everything that's sort of been said throughout the show is, like, in an envelope behind him.
Whoa.
Like, he's been there the whole time. Which, I don't know how you do that.
Mm.
And this is another show where... Do you remember when I went to see Josh Staley? And I spoke about Flynn, who came to see it with me. And he was just sort of like...
Flynn, of course, being
my... Flynn is a magician that I picked up during the Magic Festival.
You picked up a magician?
Yeah, he's very small.
Okay.
Yeah, I put him in a little top hat. And now he's been with me for 3 years.
Oh, God!
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, good to have.
Yeah, it's good to have one of them. He, when we were watching this magic show, he kept turning to me and being like, oh, how is he doing that? Which I just think is so cute. Because it's like, I don't know, it's magic. And that's what I felt this time. I was the one going to Georgie like, wait a minute. How the fuck is he doing that?
That man's a sorcerer.
He's a fucking black wizard. So well done to Barry. You tricked me.
The goal of any true wizard.
Oh, God, yes. And, I really enjoy it. And this is one of those pieces of Harry Potter theatre that I enjoyed.
Okay.
Yeah, that I can say, yes, I can see why you've picked Harry Potter as a vehicle for this. You're doing it well, and it's not in a way that I think pays any royalties to J.K. Rowling. So, I'm into it.
Hello, James.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Fantastic. I went to the Doubletree Hilton.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we've been there. We've rehearsed there before.
We have indeed.
We have indeed.
Oh, what an exciting story.
Oddly, the show that I saw was in the room we rehearsed the play in.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, that's a little thing for just me and James to enjoy. And,
and no one else.
Yeah, so it was in, like, this big boardroom they have at the Hilton. It's, like, the big one on Flinders Street.
Mm.
They cut the boardroom in half, and then it became this, like, a stage at the front of where we were all sitting in chairs, and the chairs themselves were facing the stage. I was there with Wheeler, a chum of mine.
Yes.
And we were there to see Pilot, which was the name of this performance, which is part of an initiative to give young comedians a chance to perform in front of an audience.
Oh, like a pilot episode.
I suppose that's kind of the idea of it, but also the screen that was displaying the word pilot throughout the performance looked like it was on almost like a sky backdrop, so it made me think of plane pilots.
Oh, sure, I guess it could also be a play on words, hey.
But no, that the play on words only works if everyone's dressed as a flight attendant. Or if everyone used to be a pilot.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we're reading too much into that.
Oh, not enough. Yeah. anyway, so... So the way that it works is... Oh, first off, I thought... Based on the promo imagery that I'd seen of the show...
Where they look like the Wiggles?
They look a bit... They look a bit like the Wiggles in that all of the comedians, because there's a handful of them, but you just see two, whatever night that you go, they like cycle them around.
Right.
So we were just going to see two comedians. But because of the promo imagery, I thought that they were all like 14 years old. Because the photos just make them look, because they're wearing like their little like Wiggles colored t-shirts,
yeah,
and their little faces, and they're making little like facial expressions in the promo images. I thought, oh,
how cute.
Like the most charismatic members of like a high school's drama class have decided to become comedians. So I was like, I had no idea. Like, I thought I was going to turn up and have that experience. But no, these are still very, very young performers that seem to be between, I mean, I just saw two of them, but seem to be between like 18 and 20.
Okay.
Still very young
still people. Children.
But also read as adult in terms of their sensibilities.
Yep.
Which I'll get to. But yeah, the night that I was there with Wheeler, we saw Patty Fawcett and Mally Hawke. Were the two of them.
Lovely.
Yeah. I think that it's sweet that the two of their first names put together kind of sounds like Patty Melon, which is an animal that I only recently realized exists.
What's a Patty Melon?
Exactly. A Patty Melon.
Oh, wait. Does it have like a hard shell?
No. What are you thinking of? An armadillo?
Yeah, I'm thinking of an armadillo, but like I thought there was a type of armadillo. Oh, I'm thinking of
Sandslash the Pokemon.
No.
What are you thinking of?
It doesn't matter. I can't remember it, but it starts with a P. Carry on. Pangolin!
Ah, yes. Pangolin!
Yes.
Yes. The one that we wrongly blamed for the coronavirus for quite some time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And what?
No, because it was bats, wasn't it?
Was it bats? I don't know. Was it a lab leak?
Whoa!
Apparently in the US, 50% of specialists think that... Wait. People have kind of come to a consensus that it's a 50-50 chance that it was a lab leak that caused the COVID outbreak.
Lab leak's funny because it has a blur in the middle of it.
Lab leak. Is funny.
Yeah.
Because of that bubbly sound you get to make in the middle.
So pangolin.
The pangolin. Yes. No. Patty Melons. I was taught this ironically by a tall Canadian man. Ironic because he's from Canada and Patty Melons are not. They are like, you know how kangaroos are just adult wallabies? Which I know is not true. But go with me. Okay,
yeah,
let's talk in terms that I can understand better and aren't as inaccurate as a comparison.
Go on.
Kangaroos are Marsha Brady. Wallabies are Jan Brady. Patty Melons are Cindy Brady. And she has a lisp. Irrelevant? Yes.
You know I don't know what the fuck that means. So a pangolin... Not a pangolin. A Patty Melon is a small kangaroo.
It's a small kangaroo!
Okay, just say that!
Anyway, so... We see the two of them.
So you see Patty Melon on stage.
So Stella Hall, just to confuse matters, Stella Hall MCs the thing.
Okay.
So she comes out first and she's like, hi everyone, welcome, kind of explains the premise of things to us. And then introduces Patty. And Patty comes out. So Patty Fawcett comes out and Patty is like a funky, dry, comedically. I'm unclear
great
on what
skin,
her skin
sure.
feels like. Patty set is called Okay You Romantic! Exclamation mark. And relatedly, there are several stories about dating and romance. And there's like a story about Patty and their partner going on a road trip for a while.
Ooh.
And it's nice. I just thought it was nice to like getting to know this person exclusively by them being on stage. Like I have no idea who Patty is. It was nice to imagine what type of road trip partner Patty would be.
Mm.
It was nice.
Oh, that's nice.
That was just something to like think
what
about.
What sort of road trip partner do you think they would be?
Fun. I think I enjoy Patty's sarcasm. I think it'd be very grounding to have that presence with me in an automobile. I don't know how we'd pair necessarily in terms of like, I think we bring a few similar qualities to the table.
Yeah.
In that I too am quite prone to that type of groundedness as well. Mm. I think when it comes to those sorts of journeys, I can, if I'm put in charge of things, it becomes very, like...
Bad.
Not bad.
Plus, the other issue is, how would you both fit in the car since you are an ogre?
That's But yeah, no, but I'm good at going on road trips, I think. But
are
I haven't
really?
Been, well, I was good in Tasmania.
Oh, in Tasmania, I forgot about that, with Tall Canadian.
Tall Canadian, we went to Tasmania. That's where I learned about patty melons.
Of course.
And didn't know when I'd get to bring up that information and share it with everybody.
And I volunteered it just then.
You volunteered.
Volunteered you the opportunity to share that information.
Yes, I'm a very lucky person. I realized that I will never tire of people, and I'm saying this sort of at the beginning of the comedy festival. Who knows how I'll feel about this at the end. But I think anytime someone brings up dating stories or even just like things to say about dating, I'm immediately so interested.
Yeah.
Even like, and I know it's hacky at this point, and I see it on the faces of comedians who at this point are kind of almost bringing it up with an ironic look on their faces. But when people talk about dating apps on stage, I get truly excited and I really enjoy listening to the stories they have to share.
Sure, I think I agree in terms of, dating is an immediate in to understanding a person better, you know? Like, it's an immediate way to just get right to the heart of what makes that person tick.
What do you mean? Oh, in terms of like getting to know a comedian or something.
Yeah.
Like hearing about their relationship with dating as an enterprise.
Yes, it's like
reveals
you,
a lot.
There's almost no way you can do a dating story that isn't like
very
some
revealing.
Sort of interesting and revealing. Yeah,
sure. Okay, interesting.
Is
it is. And I would say that she told a story about like accidentally ending up on a date with a person. Mm. Like they had French toast, and I don't know. She inadvertently ended up in this romantic predicament, which resonated with me as a person.
In what way?
Well, I've. Don't use that tone.
When have you been on a date?
Here we go. No,
it's a valid question.
The issue is I don't know the answer to that question with enough even vague specifics. I pledged a year and a half ago to get better at knowing when I was on dates with people. And
you
I did.
Yeah. And you still
loud.
Have not. But also, maybe you just identified with the French toast of it all.
Is that a colloquialism that you're trying to coin? What do you mean?
Did you not say French toast?
I did, but how do I identify with the French toast of it all?
You like French toast. Maybe that's the thing that you sort of related to most.
I can make pretty bad French toast. So if anyone wants to come over and confuse me...
I'm available?
Yeah. So, I don't know. That was something.
Yeah.
And something else that came up too, still in the dating sphere, was the idea of like the what?
The dating sphere sounds like a thunderdome, but instead of fighting, it's like speed dating inside the dome.
Which sounds fun. Like that's kind of what I'm sort of coming to. Like Patty talked about, she decided upon a particular cinema as being a location for a date to occur, and brought it up. And a chunk of the audience seemed to agree as well that not just this specific cinema, but also maybe cinemas generally are bad places to go on dates. Do you have any strong feelings about like cinemas as date locations?
No,
you don't.
No, I do. I've definitely been on my share of cinema dates.
Oh, you boasty
bitch. Sat in the back row a few times.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, disgusting. I think it's for like that reason. I think it's like a fun date.
For what reason? The possibility of hand jobs.
Well, getting a little handsy and smoochy in the back row to cinema is always very cute and fun.
Okay.
For me.
Sorry, I'm crying softly because I wouldn't know.
Can I share something?
Of course, baby. You can share whatever you want to share.
I had a date that was really good. I had a date which got handsy and smoochy in the back row while watching 12 Years a Slave.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's, not because of the movie.
We ignored
the movie, but, that is...
But you were on a date, though.
Yeah. I think we went to the cinema and there were, like, nothing much playing. And we were like, fuck, there's not much on. I guess we'll see 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, let's see something light and...
So we saw it. Well, we saw half of it. Yeah, that's my story.
Okay,
then left.
I'm so glad you feel comfortable sharing that.
Yeah, I'm going to regret that later. But yeah, that's a fun fact about me.
Okie dokie.
What about you? Do you have any opinions about cinemas as date spots?
I think they're lovely. I just like the idea of sitting next to a person. Which was not intended.
Oh my god!
In a nice way!
No, I know, it's just, what a sad thing to say.
Why is it sad?
Nothing. It's very sweet.
I didn't mean for it to sound as if I never ever
it
get
does
to sit
sound next. Like you never get to sit next to someone. I just wanted to sit next to someone.
I sit next to people all the time.
We're sitting across from each other, we don't sit next to each other.
Yeah, no, we don't, but I don't know, I'm on trains.
Jake!
Yes?
I think we should move on. So I'm horny in cinemas and you're keen for any sort of contact. is what that sounds like.
Yeah, if that is what you want the takeaway to be, that is the takeaway. And second on comes Mally Hawkes.
Yes. Great.
Yeah, and his portion of the evening is called Life Hacks.
Ooh.
Yeah, which I imagine excites you because you live so poorly.
Yes.
Yes.
So maybe... Help me.
Maybe this young man has some tricks.
Give me some stuff. What did he have to say?
In terms of hacks, not many that apply to you.
Oh.
A lot of his set revolved around his very recent experience of high school.
Oh, sure. Oh, God. Yeah, very recent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he's a young man. Yeah, and dealing too with, like, it begins with him asking, like, the percentage of the audience in terms of, like, who went to public versus private schools.
Ooh.
Yes, I volunteered no information.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Because I went to, not only because I'm just never going to be a person to go, ooh, to any question posed by anyone on stage.
Why would you make that noise?
I was trying to do an example of those people where it's like, someone's like, oh, I was in Sydney, and then someone from Sydney goes, woo!
Yeah.
But now I realise I don't even know how to make that sound correctly.
The apprehension you just had before making that noise just then.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe that's a new reason that I will be less likely to participate in the future thusly.
So it's balanced out to not at all. So you didn't offer up...
Well, I went to an independent Catholic boys' high school.
Yeah, that shows.
Which is... Thank you! Pretend it's a compliment, keep the conversation moving. Yes, but I guess it errs on the side of privacy, I suppose.
It sounds like it, yes.
Yes. But yeah, he regales us with tales of, like, muck-up days and classrooms.
Did he go to a private school?
No, he went to a public school.
Okay.
He went to, like, Footscray High?
Sure.
I think that's what it was called? Yeah. Yes. And, I don't know, it sounds very rough and tumble. what?
Sounds very much like a public school to me.
No, in a way that I envy. Like, I would love to know the me that would have come out of a public school.
What? I was too busy eating Gruyere and yogurt to be able to...
I don't know.
Be able to stuff around with boys.
Yes, I'm very fancy and have been bred to be so.
You've never been bred.
Oh. James! That's disgusting! Never been bred.
Never been kissed. Never been bred.
Oh, that would be a fun, like, gay
sequel
version
to that.
Well, not a sequel. I don't think Drew Barrymore's coming back for that.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be her. As you say, it would be a gay... Let's move on. So, you haven't been bred.
I have no remarks pertaining to that.
All right. Do you have any life hacks to share with me?
Still not really.
Oh.
I think... A couple of things happened that I found really, really fun to watch. Oh, first off, I really enjoy his personality. It felt just kind of like I was watching a very, like, delightful, like, pranky scallywag.
Oh, how nice.
Yes.
How sweet.
Sorry, I suddenly felt like a British gentleman.
Yeah.
Ah, that little rapscallion.
I
sure did woo me.
You can see the hand gestures that are going.
Ignore
with
my body.
Oh, God, I wish I could. Devastating blow from James.
He plays the guitar twice in the show.
Oh! Sorry, that just makes him... I just find that very... That's romantic when people can play guitar.
Sure. Yeah, depending on what they do with it. He sang a song about serial killers. Which I enjoyed. I like a serial killer. I have a few favourites, which he asked for people to volunteer their own. And
did
of course,
you?
No, of course I didn't. You heard me try to hoot before.
I did. Who said what?
Who said what? Someone, I think no one really offered up much in terms of, like, there was, like, a vague sense of enthusiasm surrounding the whole true crime phenomenon.
Mm.
But I don't think any names came up specifically from anybody. But then following that, from that came to happen the song on the guitar about the serial killers.
Lovely.
But then this very, like... And I don't know if anyone else was as struck by this as I was, but this moment happened where he, like, kind of almost, like, radicalized someone in the front row.
Ooh.
He did this thing where he, like, I don't know, drilled his eye contact into this person in the front row and was kind of, like, I don't know, connected to this song and this discussion of serial killers was almost like, yeah, radicalizing them and training them rapidly into, like, doing some serial killing. In a way that felt very, like... It was a powerful stage moment, which rattled me.
You're going to need to elaborate.
It's like, he like looked into this person's eyes and he's staring, not breaking eye contact. And it's like, okay, we're going to do this. All right, you coming? We going? Good. You coming? Yes. Fantastic. All right, good. You go get it. Good. You ready? Let's have it. It's that style of speech where it's like you're entranced by this charismatic man who's telling you to do something atrocious. And it's like even me not being like the victim of his laser stare, I was like, this is very startling to me.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds bold.
Like that in itself felt like that's its own spin-off comedy show, which, I don't know, maybe it's more of a fringe festival show.
Yeah, I don't think that's a comedy show.
But I found it very gripping. It was a moment of true theatre that I...
Yeah, wow.
Again, I don't know how consciously it was implanted and functioned that way in this piece of stand-up that I was witnessing, but it's the moment that stuck with me.
Sounds like it.
Yes.
Did maybe it get stuck with you a bit too much, Jake?
No, we're all safe. For now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who knows what'll happen next time I see a stand-up show.
I don't think you should see another stand-up show.
No more of that for you.
Yeah, that's enough. Time to sit down. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I ran to see a show.
Great.
Yeah, I ran.
Are you trying to impress me with that?
Well, I was alone. I ran 10 minutes.
Now you're looking for pity.
Yes. Always. So I had 10 minutes to get to a show. I ran from Tasma Terrace all the way to Trades Hall.
Okay.
10 minutes to get there. Just made it.
I can't picture you doing that without it being like three different satchel bags hanging off you and oranges flying from them.
Like a tray of drinks. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Perhaps.
Really?
Perhaps.
Your suggestion's bad. My suggestion's brilliant. Anywho, so ran there, sat down, alone, sweaty, panting.
That's that classic James presence.
That's what I bring to the party. To see Cool and Smart and Friend.
Okay.
Run by Cool and Smart.
Okay.
And Cool and Smart are made up of Matt Young and Barney Pollock.
Matt and Barney!
I don't like how comfortable we slipped into that. Cool and Smart and Friend is an improv show they're doing for Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Where every night they do the show, they have like a different guest that comes on, and that's the friend part of it.
Okay.
So they get like a few improv actors and comedians to come on and join them, as well as this guest. Unfortunately, the night that I went, as is the stakes of live theatre, the guest who was going to be Heidi Arena, a comedian in Melbourne, was unfortunately unwell. It was just a good old improv night that I got to see with some wonderful people.
Great. Cool.
Questions, Jake?
No, great. Despite the lack of Heidi, the improv soldiered on.
Yes, as improv is famously all about doing.
So it was Cool and Smart and some other people too.
Yeah, it was Cool and Smart and still Friend, I guess.
I hope so.
Yeah, so just to quickly run through, we had Amy Ruffle, Tiana Hogman, and Matt Jenner were the friends in this scenario.
That's good. Sorry, my mind's hung up on the idea of doing improv with your enemy as opposed to your friend.
That's kind of... How would you facilitate that? How would you make that happen?
I would say... Well, I think that would have to be the premise. I don't know why people aren't utilizing this more often, bringing real offstage tension onto the stage.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think it's immaculate. I think it's a beautiful idea. And I think, too, because it almost seems to have its root as a premise in, you know, like... true psychology. Like, it's almost mediation. It's almost that thing where it's like you get like a squabbling couple to play each other in a role play, and it helps them understand each other's perspective.
Jake, you cracked it. That's how you do it. It's couples therapy. It's like intense couples therapy for couples who are in fights.
Sure.
You push them on stage and you cast them as like, maybe not husband and wife, but you cast them as like, I don't know, like enemies to lovers. And you sort of like make them do that in this improv show. That's funny.
It's something. Anyway, it wasn't what this was.
No, it wasn't. This was good old improv. And they did improv in a way that I haven't seen in a long time. Most of the improv shows that I've seen recently, and I've seen a lot, have been like, you know, like games or okay, we need another suggestion or like ongoing interaction with the audience. This one, they asked at the very start for one suggestion. Someone in the audience shouted groceries.
Yeah. Some visionary.
Some comedy whiz.
Some goddamn genius.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out groceries. And then... What's so funny about groceries? Is funny. It's a funny suggestion. Because it's just like... Okay.
I like how it's also like kind of unfun.
Yeah.
Maths. I also like the idea of them not having requested a request. It's like I'm just midway through the first act of Mamma Mia and I shout, grocery.
Mamma Mia. That's, yeah, it's a funny suggestion. One would even say a classic suggestion.
Would one say...
Oh, yeah, groceries is like a suggestion for improv is like... That's as run of the mill.
That's
as
day one improv school.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they teach you at the Improv Academy. It's an academy, but improv.
This yes, tendency
yes,
you
and.
Have.
Yes, and. You... Anywho.
All you mean...
Shut up!
Your abbreviations.
Shut up.
Are getting lazier.
Hey, respect the rules of shut up. What the fuck?
So, some
genius shouts groceries. And then, the next hour of the show is all just them layering on, first of all, that one word groceries, they do like a skit after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the rest of the show is them just layering on top of that. Like, tapping in, tapping out, like doing very classic improv. But like, there's no other audience interaction from that entire point onwards.
Which is a fantasy for Jake.
It's exactly, it's a fantasy for me as well. Mm. And that's just, I just haven't seen improv done like that in a while. And it sort of became this, like... interesting thing where like each story would sort of like curl in on itself as each story gets told, and by the end of it you end up with like 1,000 ripples and echoes of this initial story in all the bits that happen.
So someone shouted groceries and it echoed through time
and space.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like I again, in terms of talking about these sort of shows, talking about improv on a podcast is sort of moot because it's all different every night and it's improv. But some of the things that happened that were quite funny.
One Call of them... me Moot, Veronica Moot. I never said
I'm
I was smart.
Not going to call you Veronica Moot. I'll call you Veronica Moot.
What?
You Moot.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm yeah. Veronica Moot. Please Moot. Continue.
It's pronounced Moot. All right,
Stop laughing at Veronica Moot.
I can't, it's pretty funny. So one of the things that happened that was quite funny was they introduced a character called Mr. Coles.
Great.
Yeah, which is already funny.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Coles... So one thing that happened in the show that I thought was really great, two of the characters, it was Matt Young and I'm pretty sure it was Amy Ruffell, were talking about... No, it was Matt Young and Tiana Hogman talking about Mr. Coles and how much they love Mr. Coles. And, like, as they're talking about Mr. Coles, Matt Jenner just comes on for, like, 1 second and all he does is come on and go, oh, no, did you hear that Mr. Coles has been cancelled? Oh, no, and just leaves. I mean...
Oh no.
Ruining their entire sketch.
Why? Because they were praising
his name.
They were
like praising Mr. Coles and then he comes up. But isn't that a funny commentary on how often that happens in real life, Jake?
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
But it turns out Mr. Coles got cancelled for rimming. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So throughout the show, then you added a lot of rimming jokes, which I always appreciate.
Of course.
Another thing that happened is.
Cancelled for like rimming. JK
rimming a coworker.
Rowling?
Oh. Oh no, getting rimmed by a coworker, as Mr. Cole says later on in one of the sketches, I'm the one who likes to get rimmed.
Oh.
Obviously.
Good. I can see how he got caught.
Yeah. Amy Ruffell also got attacked for liking cauliflower rice, and I don't think that's fair, and I don't think that's right. I think cauliflower rice is a very substantial and wonderful thing to like.
Okay.
So, yep.
Good. Brave stance to take, James.
Thank you very much. I stand with you, Amy.
God, this festival is so political.
It's getting charged. It's getting really charged. There was also another wonderful bit by Amy Ruffell where she was like a Cole's checkout chick, and Tiana Hogman comes in to like buy some stuff, and Matt Young comes out as Mr. Coles, and they just have this really awkward interaction where Amy is sort of like this weird demonic possessed woman that lives in the Coles working there. It was just very just good stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of good stuff came out of this. It did do that thing where improv shows often feel like to me, where it's sort of like sort of testing out ideas for, like, other shows.
Yeah.
Which is always kind of funny, because I get to, like, look at it and go, which one would I watch?
Okay.
And, yeah, there were quite a few in this. I'd watch The Adventures of Mr. Coles.
You would? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As long as there's a rimming scene.
Scenes.
Okay.
Let's be clear. Enough of that, though. One thing that happened during the show...
yes.
It's just, it was just a simple moment, but it was quite silly, is at one point Matt Young sits down at a computer and like starts typing and nothing else has happened. And someone in the front row just goes like, oh, this is it. You can hear him say, oh, this is it. And like Matt Young and Jenna on stage, both turn to the guy immediately and both repeat, this is it. And I was just like, what are you saying? It was like, oh, this is like when... And it turns out he was like saying, this is what it looks like when I'm at work. It's like, you're out of debt. It was just funny. It was just a funny moment of audience interaction that I enjoyed. That's all I have to say. But yeah, Cool and Smart as hosts are really fantastic. They just have a lot of really nice energy and they're able to sort of keep things moving. And they seem to understand the rules of like how their improv games work really well in order to keep things at a good pace for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Which is satisfying. Like even the lighting and sound is in on it. Like the, it seemed that the lighting was able to, the people doing the lighting were able to switch off the lights. And I'm not sure if that was coming from like the cast behind the curtains or if that was coming directly from the lighting team. But like oftentimes it would end on someone would say a funny line and the lighting team would seemingly decide that was funny enough and just end it there and turn the lights off.
Hmm.
So yeah, I'm curious as to know as to like who decides the light cuts because that's funny to me. But yeah, improv.
Hello, James.
Jake, hi.
Hi. I went to the Queen Victoria Women's Centre.
Oh, okay.
I guess not the Queen Victoria. I guess Queen Victoria's Women's Centre.
Lucky Queen Victoria. Yes. She's got a lot of women. Is it near to Victoria Market?
No, not notably. No, I could not throw a royal sceptre from the centre and hit the market.
Have you ever seen someone just fall apart in front of you? So,
I definitely haven't ever seen royal life. It's a lot of scepter tossing to indicate distance.
Yeah. I could probably throw a crown, definitely not a scepter. So,
where would you like your market to go? Well,
wherever the scepter lands shall be my market.
Hi-ya!
Okay, so just tell us about this women's centre. Where is it?
It's on Lonsdale Street.
Cool!
Can vivid enough for you? Yeah. It's beautiful. It's a big old, like, concrete thing, and it's, like, tall and broad. It's just a very elegant, quite British-looking building.
Oh, good.
But, you know, with, like, the dark concrete stones of,
quack,
like, a...
Quack,
quack. Quack, of, like, you know, like a Gotham or some such.
Ooh, okay, Batman reference.
Yes, I'm trying to broaden my scope in terms of pop culture reference saws.
Oh, okay.
But, yes, I was there to see Endho.
Ooh, okay. So it's Endho.
Like, Endho. So it's like, so it's spelled E-N-D-H-O-E.
Yeah.
I hope you all had your pencils ready. Yes. And it's like, if you, it's the term that people use to casually refer to endometriosis.
Oh, Endho. Okay. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, they've, you know, Anna Dooley, the creator and star of this work, has, you know, slipped a crafty H in the middle.
Little ho.
You know, so you inbuild that, the ho part.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good, good.
Yeah, it's well-fashioned wordplay. So, yeah.
Which I'm a fan of.
Took the elevator upstairs in a little cluster of elevator friends and then went inside to this, like, long, beautiful boardroom that had a little risen stage at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we were ready to go. Going to this show, part of the appeal of it for me, apart from it just looking impressive based on, like, the promotional material, I was keen to learn about endometriosis.
Yeah,
and I was
right.
Really interested in learning it because it affects a bunch of, like, my uterus-owning pals.
Mm.
And I was just curious to, like, you know, learn about it in this way as well. And to hear from, like, a really great performer about the show that they've been doing for a little while now. Yeah, I was just keen to learn more about this condition and the lifestyle of someone living with it.
Yeah, right.
I guess. Because, yeah, it's certainly, like, a blind spot for me, and that itself is just, like, an essence of manness, I guess, if you've got to be really rudimentary about it.
Well, you don't need to worry about it, do you?
No, I don't, personally.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but it affects people I care about, and this, again, I think it would be, like, a fun way, maybe, I don't know, that's the word I've chosen to use in this sentence, a fun way to learn about this experience and this condition.
Well, you would hope so at a comedy festival show.
Hope what?
That it's a fun way to learn about it.
Sure, we'll see.
I suppose. You did see.
You're about to find out.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
Was it arduous torture? Stay tuned. So yeah, Anna Dooley, as I said, created it, is the star of it. We walk in, there's a little A-frame whiteboard thing set up, to sort of like letting us know the location we're at. What we come to learn is the location we're at is like, it's this meeting of people, and it's orchestrated and run by endometriosis personified.
Right.
By yes. Anna Dooley. So Anna Dooley emerges in this, like, really beautiful, like, besequined performance outfit.
Mm.
With, like, beautiful red, like, little pops of red all over, like, skin-tight black outfit she's wearing. Very, like, glamorous and very, like, I don't know, a little bit Vegas. And it was just, I don't know, she looked so lovely.
Was it sort of designed to look like blood and, like angry, inflamed?
Like, the sequence and the arrangement of the sequence kind of, like, in, like, yeah, kind of, like, reminded you of the paths of blood, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. And so, yeah, starts, and then what we come to know through both visual aids and just, like, storytelling, we are kind of, like, cast as a collection of elements of Anna Dooley, or at least, like, the in-universe version of Anna Dooley in this show. Mm. We were cast as personified elements of her, like, nervous, musculoskeletal organ system.
Oh, so the show really gives you a breakdown of how it affects the body.
Across the board. But yeah, in terms of, like, the setup of the entire thing, endometriosis is, for the most part, running this seminar thing. It's almost like a corporate catch-up for everyone in the body to be reasserted to about the structure of things. Like, there was even, like, a turn of this sort of, like, big whiteboard notepad thing showed that endometriosis was, like, running everything. And, like, that's how the things are structured. Like, the rest of the body comes after the reign and tyranny of endometriosis itself. Endometriosis being the growth of, like, uterus tissue outside of the uterus, which can cause tremendous pain for people.
Yeah.
Is me clunkily trying to get to you the science of what it is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, no, it's a horrible thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and affects, like, 1 in 9 people that have a uterus.
Like, a shocking amount of people.
Yeah, yeah. And it was even suggested by Anna that that number is even larger than that, but because of the way that the medical system treats women, it maybe goes, like, undocumented or, like, wrongly diagnosed or something. But that's the current statistics. And the show itself was, like, a large, quite powerful chunk of it was devoted to expressing the experience that Anna's had to whatever, like, level of fictionness it's been, but it felt very autobiographical, experiencing it and hearing it from her mouth, of going to the hospital and seeking treatment for this condition, and the way that she's treated by different people in the medical system was something.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a fun way to, I don't know, it was an interesting and fun, engaging way into this story that she was telling, like, this level of, like, heightened role play, was a cool angle to come at it from. And also, fortunately as well, Anna knows how to fill up a room. Like, the show is driven by her energy and focus and dedication to the entire thing. You know, because it's, like, it's an odd conceit to be selling, but for no moment... Yeah, but at no moment does her determination to play this role and deliver these words and express these emotions falter. Like, the entire thing, it's just, like, a stampede of the twists and turns of this story and the things that she wants to express. Yeah, she's very, very clearly a wildly talented and very competent performer who really belongs on the stage. The stated goal of endometriosis throughout the story of the show...
Is it the character's goal?
The character... Yes, the character.
I just want to...
it's complicated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to make sure I know.
The endometriosis, as played by Anna Dooley in End Ho by Anna Dooley...
Thank you very
...is
much.
To get the in-universe version of Anna, in whose body we as the audience and endometriosis live.
Yes, yes.
The goal of that endometriosis,
yes,
the one running this meeting,
yes,
is to get the in-universe Anna to the hospital because of how effectively endometriosis has made Anna be in pain.
Like, right.
Endometriosis wants her in hospital. Endometriosis wants her bedridden. That is the goal
God,
of this...
Okay.
Like, inside-out version... Inside-out the film.
Yes, 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 yes.
No. As an example of... I don't know if that helps you picture this thing. But yeah, is like...
Yeah.
Affecting her body intentionally in a way to hurt her as much as possible. For at least the period of time that this play runs for.
Wow, yeah. A horrible way for that to feel like.
Sure, it's quite villainous.
Jesus.
Yeah, but that's... That itself engaging and interesting. And that's kind of something we witness. And throughout the journey that we go on with Endo as a character and the version of Anna that we also see throughout the show, it's like, it's fascinating and upsetting and wild to kind of see the way that, I don't know, in ways that I, of course, was learning for the first time, the way that it affects a person socially and the concerns you have to have in terms of, going to parties or the things you have to think about when, like, considering having a partner or just the concerns that you kind of, like, live with every day, potentially not knowing when the next bout of an especially crippling version of this situation is going to hit you.
Yeah.
Was really well conveyed.
Yeah, wow.
And without spoiling anything, there was this quite upsetting portion towards the end of the show that I thought was just really, like, I don't know, important and powerful, brave theatre making from her, where Anna sort of, like, sits down and is still, like, in the character of Endo, playing her own endometriosis. And she gives this quite earnest speech from Endo's perspective, insisting that the things that Anna has been subjected to by endometriosis has eventuated in her benefiting from these things. Mm. Like, it's made her a stronger person. It's made her more capable of, like, dealing with pain. It's made her have a better personality. It's made her funnier. It's made her all of these things that she should be really grateful for. And there was just, like, something really upsetting and, I don't know, a bit heart-wrenching about watching this person making this very brave theatrical choice of, like, you see these layers of her, like, atop each other, and looking at it through these lenses of, like, this person has forced herself to get on stage in front of people, being, like, the advocate for this thing that has put her through so much pain, and to give voice to this opinion that she's assigned to this thing that, I don't know, it's especially after hearing, you've still got the echoes of the people that are giving her unsolicited advice throughout her life.
God.
And the way that the medical system lets her down repeatedly. And then you have her, as real life Anna Dooley, sitting there playing this role where she brings herself to defend this thing. Was just, I don't know, really, like, impressive theatre making.
That's a hell of a complicated thought to get across. Yeah. And a hell of a complicated thought to see in the comedy festival.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. It was a moment that really hit me and one that will stick with me. And the whole thing too, like, I went in wanting to learn and I learned a bunch, and I'm glad that it's certainly made me a more empathetic person with this issue. I know more about like women in a general sense, I guess, now, and what it's like to have a body with a uterus inside of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful for this show. So
yeah, this sounds fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's comedy, isn't it?
You're just giving me options so I can slot this in wherever.
Yeah, if you want to use that, you can use that one. I'll give you another one. Oh, well, that is comedy. Or this one. Ah, now that's comedy.
Good. This is all good.
Yeah.
I barely need you anymore.
I'll record a bunch of lines you can use. That'll be good.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining in, dear listener. Thanks for joining us on this journey, this chuckle fest.
Indeed. Thank you so much for being here. It's very sweet of you to spend your time with us.
Hmm.
We're going to keep on chuckling. We're going
to... Lot more chuckles to have.
Yeah. So, please continue to join us. I hope you're also out there enjoying the comedy festival, if that's the time period in which you currently live.
And if not, I hope you're just enjoying the podcast.
Yes. And your life.
Sure.
Secondly,
to the podcast. We both know our priorities. If you think there's a better word than chuckle for laugh and you're having like a guffaw or something, write in, let us know.
Provocations like that, James, I think really make it obvious that you're really hungry for some sort of like electronic attention.
Oh god, yeah. When I used to be a big Tumblr boy, and I mean I was on Tumblr huge time.
Oh, not just like an obese guy in the circus.
A big Tumblr boy. That's funny. That's funny. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. When I was on Tumblr, I used to be like the rush that I would get out of seeing a little red notification over the mail icon. It was like I still have never found that feeling again.
Oh god. Well, maybe people suggesting synonyms for guffaw will fill that hole.
God, I hope so. Something needs to fill this hole.
Okay, so please fill James's hole if you are so inclined.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again for being here. Hopefully we'll get to spend some more time with you soon.
Yeah, sweet as listener. Usual, we may disagree with things we've said on this podcast. We're human beings and our opinions are fluid and change like the moon.
Okay, your ideas can be fluid and tidally affected.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Friends, don't let friends become theatre critics.
Absolutely not.
Oh my god, step in as soon as you can.
Gun to the head.
Oh, yep, that's an option. Anyway, see you soon.